series on the courage of love. And I know that we started out talking about relationships, marriages, things like that, but there's more to it than that. Amen?
Amen.
You may be single, you may be widowed, whatever the case may be, there is more to love than just loving your spouse. It's loving each other, loving your family, loving your friends, loving yourself.
Yes.
So we're going to start off this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 25. Luke 10, verse 25. And it says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him." Any lawyers in here this morning? They do a good job of tempting you with their questions. "A certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying," it helps if I put my glasses on, "saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, saying, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind." That's pretty complete. There's no wiggle room. There's no exceptions. There's no, well, I can give him this, but I won't give him this. The commandment is with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Pretty simple, right? Jesus said, these are the two greatest commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. In verse 29, but he, willing to justify himself. Have you ever tried to justify yourself to God? God, I don't have to love them. They did me wrong. They stepped on my heart. They stabbed me in the back. They did me completely wrong. I know you're not happy with them, so why should I love them? We try to rationalize our actions and what we withhold from others, just as this lawyer did. But it says, he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who exactly is my neighbor? We compartmentalize what neighbors mean to us. And Jesus, in all of his wisdom, simply stated, by using this parable, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, isn't it funny how Jesus said him by chance? Because Jesus knows everything. He sets everything up in order. And nothing happens by chance. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And it goes on to say that there was a Levite. And we know that a Levite is also the priesthood. In layman's terms, pastors that know that sheep need help.
Yes.
I don't have time for them. What good can they bring to me?
Yeah.
They don't look like me. Because see, Jerusalem and Samaritans, they didn't communicate. They didn't interact. They disliked one another. So here, a man coming from Jerusalem, no doubt coming down to the temple, fell among thieves. He was hurt. He was robbed. Now, this story mentions that he was hurt and robbed physically. But many of us can relate to that. Any of us have been hurt and robbed spiritually, emotionally, just left to die on the side of the road. And here a priest came by and walked the other way. A Levite came by and walked the other way. And it took a good Samaritan, somebody who was not likely to help them, someone who was not likely to even care, someone who may have had every reason to kick the man when he was down.
Yeah.
I'm telling you this today. Because I have to obey God. And I have to, it is our responsibility to preach and teach the truth. No matter how mad it makes you, no matter how bad it steps on your toes, including ourselves. That if you have a pastor who is more willing to walk on the other side than to run to the aid of the one that needs them, you better second guess yourself. You better check where you are. Because the Bible teaches us that those in leadership positions, those that are pastors, Jesus even left the 99 to go after the one. Amen?
Amen.
He left the 99.
Amen.
And this is such a great story of love. Because knowing how the Jews and Samaritans were at odds with one another, he didn't have any right or obligation to go help that man. But it said in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had what for him?
Compassion.
Compassion. Yes. Oh, how this world would change if we just had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. And he took care of him.
Yes. Amen.
I'm reading this today because many of us here have experienced our own journey where we may have been mistreated. Maybe we were the ones doing the mistreating. And we have rationalized within ourselves, it is my right to be mad. It is my right to not go after them. It is my right to not love them any longer. Does that sound familiar to anybody? I've said that myself. I have no qualms about admitting that because I need God's grace. As we sung it this morning, I need God's grace every day. I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I make mistakes. But I know that there was one who loved me enough to say, I understand. You know you're wrong. You know your sin. But because I died on the cross, I forgive you.
Yes. Amen.
Two commandments. Isn't it funny how we focus on the Ten Commandments, the thou shalt not, and forget the two thou shalts. Jesus even said, these are the greatest commandments. Why are they the greatest commandments? Because they're the hardest. They're the hardest. You may say, oh, I love everybody. I don't have a hateful bone in my body. I wouldn't wish harm on anybody. You let somebody come and take one of your loved ones away. Do something wrong to them. And let's see if you still love everybody.
Yeah.
You let somebody come in and completely rip your heart from your chest, stomping on it, and see how much love you have. Jesus said these are the greatest commandments. He commanded us to love. And the thing is, Jesus commands us to do what we are able to give. I'm going to say that again. Jesus commands us to do what we're able to give. He's not commanding us, I command you to give me $1 million every day for the rest of your life. God, I don't make that much in a lifetime. Because it's not possible. But he commands what it is possible.
Man.
We may say it's not possible for me to love. Oh, yes, it is. Because you know why? There was somebody who hung on that cross. The nails didn't hold him there. The ropes didn't hold him there. Love did. Love held Jesus there. Love held him there when he knew Becky is going to end up turning her back on me one day out of hurt. Becky is going to look at me and throw her hands up and say, I don't know about this God thing. I don't know if I can sacrifice my heart anymore because it's just too painful. He was thinking about that and said, I'm going to do it anyway because I have to set the example of true, pure love. See, if we really focus on the two greatest commandments, the other 10, they're covered. If we are in a relationship, and we are, all I have to worry about is loving you unconditionally, loving him with all my heart, my soul, my mind. And when I do that, when I focus on loving him, I don't have to worry about killing him. He don't have to worry about killing. Is she going to kill me today? I know I may give off that vibe from time to time, but he knows I love him too much to do that. He doesn't have to worry. Is her eyes wandering someplace else? Is she looking for love someplace else? Is she going to commit adultery? Is she going to do this or do that? No. Why? Because he knows I love him. That's what Jesus is saying. If you love unconditionally with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, you won't want to do those other 10 commandments. That's why they're the greatest. Get these two right. The other's piece of cake. I won't want to bear false witness against my neighbor. I know there's been people to bear false witness against me, but you know what? That's okay. Because I love unconditionally. And you may have people in your life that you say, I cannot love these people. They're unlovable. We were unlovable at one time. When we rejected God, when we turned our back and said, you know what? I don't need God today. I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to humble myself. We were once unlovable. So we thought. But him hanging on the cross for people just like you and me is a perfect example of love. I want you to remember this. Write it down. To love, you got to have love. You can't give something you don't have. So to love, you got to love God, or you got to love. To have love, you got to know what love is. And to know what love is knowing Jesus. You don't have Jesus, you don't have love. You don't have true love. Because love has no condition, or it's really not love. You can be the best person in the world. Do the greatest things for people. Because the Bible even states that. You can have all these different things. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It's just noise without content. You can be the very best person in the world, but if you don't have love, you don't have anything. Man. Love has no limits. Love means loving when they don't look like you. The media keeps stoking racism. It keeps stoking division. It keeps prodding. Well, if you don't belong to this party, or you don't belong to this party, that's why the church house is no place for politics. Because politics, in my mind, it equates to division. Jesus didn't come to divide. He came to unite. Amen. He came to unite. Love means loving when they do you wrong. That's the hardest one. Right. Loving somebody when they do you wrong. Amen. Oh my, how I'm learning that. Loving when they do you wrong. But you know what? God can't get any glory from retaliating. He can't get any glory out of that because that's not him. Because greater is he that's within me that when I want to retaliate, when I'd really like to punch somebody, when I would really love to tell somebody exactly what I think of them, love wrangles me back in and says, Becky, that's not right. Because the love that you have for me will bridle your tongue to where you don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. Your actions and time will pass and people will know. People will see. Not what you said, how you acted.
That's right.
Your actions speak louder than words. Your actions speak louder than words. The Samaritan, knowing that this is not one of my people, this person doesn't look like me. How do I know that when I go to help this person, he's not going to rob me? He's not going to kick me when I'm down. He's not going to treat me awful. He didn't care. He had compassion.
Yeah.
And compassion is one of the hardest things. But when you have the love of Christ, as I said before, Jesus hanging on that cross, you can imagine he knew all that he was dying for. He knew the people that would eventually walk away from him. He knew the people that would never come to know him. He knew the people that would once work hard for him and love him would get hurt and walk away and say, I'm giving up this whole religion thing. I'm giving up church. It's too much. It's too difficult. He knew the people that would get hurt and walk away because he knows all and he sees all. And when I think about that, when I think about the times where I wanted to throw my hands up and say, God, I don't know if this is really worth it. I don't know how much more I can take. I don't know how much more I can bridle my tongue. I don't know how much more I can control of myself. I don't know. And Jesus said, I do. I didn't ask you to figure it out. I didn't say that you'd never be hurt. I didn't say that you would never be done wrong. I never said that you wouldn't hurt somebody else, that you wouldn't do other people wrong. All I commanded of you was to love me unconditionally with every fiber of your being, all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. In all of his wisdom, I'm thinking, God, you were smart when you said that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because I wouldn't want nobody to hurt me. I wouldn't want anybody to cuss at me. I wouldn't want anybody to lie on me, to rob me, to walk away from me. And if I wouldn't want that done to me, Jesus is saying, don't want it for your neighbor. Don't cause that for your neighbor. When you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you know how to treat them. You know what true love is. Because if you have the love of Christ, that's why it's important to love him with every fiber of your being. He didn't say, love me with all your heart. You don't have to love me with all your mind. Or love me with part of your heart, because I know that part of it is damaged. I know that part of it is broken. He didn't say that. He said all of your heart.
Yes.
The good parts, the bad parts, the broken parts, the hurt parts, the damaged parts, the bruised parts.
Amen.
All of it. Because when you love God with a broken heart, he's the only one that can fix it. He's the only one that says, I know what a broken heart feels like. Because every time I look down and I see one of my children that I died in agonizing pain and death for, using my name in vain, walking away from me when there's so much more I can offer, that pains me. That hurts my heart. That's why Jesus, he cried at the tomb of Lazarus. Not because he was dead, but because of their unbelief. God's saying, how much more do I have to prove my love for you? How much more do I have to prove myself to you? And I'm asking you this morning, how much more does God have to prove himself to you? Many of us like the attorney. We like to say, well, you said this, but there's unknown written parts over here. I don't have to love my neighbor if they've done me wrong. I don't have to love my neighbor if they live outside of my neighborhood. I don't have to love my neighbor unless they're in the church house. Because I found that many churches, they love within the walls of the church. But when they go outside these walls, their actions speak louder than their words. Amen. Their actions speak louder than their words. Regardless if we have made a vow and a pact, not only with ourselves, but with each other. God, we will vow to love people. Not people of ALCC. That's a given. We're going to love you regardless. But people as a whole, outside these walls, whether they go to another church, whether they attend someplace else, whether they're of a different belief. I had a lady come into my office. She attends another church. She's a Christian lady. And it kind of caught me off guard because this week my husband had an incident where he was praying for somebody right in the middle of the showroom. And the guy started speaking in tongues. He was praying for his hip, had his hands raised. And when Shane opened his eyes, he had a big audience of people going, and at that moment, when he texted me, he said somebody came into the showroom. He wanted prayer. And he wanted prayer right then and there. And he went, so what did your husband do? And I knew you did it. Regardless of if it was in the middle of a store. And it got me thinking, God, what such boldness that is. Such boldness it takes in days like this. To stop what you're doing when you already know that the company you work for is not Christian. That they don't support Christian values and Christian ways. And now he's being bold because when somebody came and asked him for prayer, he did it. And I said, God, that's bold. But I'm so proud of him. God, I wish I had the guts to do what he did. Be careful what you ask for. A lady came in my office out of the blue. She said, Becky, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. She said, I need some encouraging words. And she started tearing up and she said, my sister just had a miscarriage. This is her third one within a matter of a couple years. And we just talked the other night about how God will allow you to go through things. Whether you mean to do it, whether you want to do it, you go through things not knowing why, but to help other people. And she said, I don't know what to tell her. I don't know what encouraging words. She don't want to hear God knows best. She knows that. She said, she gets angry. She said, I just want to help her. And that opened up a sore spot with me. Because I don't share what I went through with our miscarriage. I kept it bottled up and I said, God, you know my heart. And I began to tell her, and what she didn't realize, that it was a healing within me after all these years. I said, you know what? I can tell you from experience. She knows God knows best. She knows that God's got her. Sometimes the best thing you can do for somebody is love them. Pray for them. Be a sounding board to them. Let them cry. Let them shout. Let them scream. Let them throw things. But just listen. Don't offer any words of encouragement. Just listen. And she said, I never really thought about it that way. To just be silent. I said, I can only tell you, everybody is different, but I can only tell you that when I was going through that, I loved family. I so much appreciated the support and the love. I said, but my healing came from being by myself, letting me grieve on my own, to where I remember getting by myself, and I cried, I yelled at God, and I said, I feel ashamed. And she told me, she said, my sister is feeling less of herself. She's feeling in such a way where she's embarrassed. I said, she's got every right to be. Let her feel that way. I said, because this will pass. It'll pass. I said, does she know God? She said, yes, she does. She attends church. She knows about God. I said, if she knows God, that's the greatest connection she could ever have. People can encourage. They can pray. They can do all of these things, and that's great, and it's needed. I said, but true healing won't come until she pours her heart out to God and allows God to come in and put the broken pieces back together. And I told her, I said, she probably already knows this from having multiple miscarriages. Each time she gets pregnant, that thought will always be in her mind. Am I going to carry this one? Is something going to be wrong with this one? Because see, that's how the devil works. He takes those seeds of fear and he plants them right when it hits and hurts the most. And I began to share with her some things. And looking back, and I told her, I said, this was more healing for me because this was the most I've talked about this ever. I never really talked about our miscarriage. It was a closed book. But I told her, I said, the next time that I got pregnant with Blake, I said, that thought was fresh on my mind. God, I can't take this anymore. I can't take another devastation like this. But I said, God, I've lived for you these 22 years. And nothing about that's going to change. Because you wouldn't put on me more than I can bear. You love me with that unconditional love, knowing I'm telling you what I think I can handle. When I know deep down, you know me better than I know myself. And Blake had some, he had to go in the NICU. Chandler, when he was born, is when our pastor had died. I was 7 months pregnant. I was up crying. I was worried. I was mourning. And then later I found out with Lexi that I was hemorrhaging with her. And I told this lady, I said, you know, I don't know why people have to go through what they go through. But what I can tell you is, God was with me every step of the way. God covered me. He covered my mind. He covered my heart. And I vowed to him, God, whatever children you see fit to give to us, God, I will return them to you. I will teach them about you. I will train them up in the way they should go. And I told this lady, I said, see, I said, not many people know this. I said, through all of this, through all the struggles that we've endured, through every hurt, every pain, I said, me and my husband were told years ago, before we even thought about having kids, you're going to have 3 kids, 2 boys and a girl. And I thought, 3? Are you sure it was 3? At the time, I wanted 4. God knows me better than I know myself. And I told her, and I thought, God, why am I emptying out this to her? I told her, I said, my first son was born, my second son was born. I said, we went to the doctor to have an ultrasound for my daughter. And when we found out it was a girl, I said, we looked at each other with tears in our eyes. We were joyful. But we knew, he knew what he was talking about. God, you saw fit. 2 boys and a girl. But he also, my former pastor also told me, you're going to have 2 boys and a girl. And all 3 are going to be working and serving God. But it's going to come with a price. It's going to come with a price because the devil's not going to allow. He's going to try to stop. He's going to try to fight. He's going to try all these things to get you away. And when I heard that, I did not fully understand until now. After studying this, the devil is after your love. He is after your heart. He is after the love that you have for God. Because if he can strip that love away by whatever means, he's got you. And I began to tell her some things. And it came to my mind. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. I told her, I said, I don't understand why I had a miscarriage. I'll never know. I said, but what I do know, I can't focus on what I lost. I'm focusing on the 3 gifts he chose to give to me. The 3 that he gave me are so precious, and I'm so very proud of them because they're all 3. They love God, they're saved, and they're working for God. And I told her, I said, send her a message for me, because I don't know her, I don't have any way of getting in contact with her. I said, focus on the 4-year-old that she has. That's life. It's life. When I started sharing with her some of the struggles that we have went through, you'd think I'm lying. She started dancing in my office. And I just sat there and thought, Lord, let her have her moment. She's praising God because something I said uplifted her. And I thank God for that. And I started tearing up and I said, I want you to know something. Just because I come into this office day after day with a smile on my face does not mean I have life easy. Amen? Just because you come in every day with a smile on your face does not mean you've had it easy. What it does mean is you know you've got better. It's love on the inside. It's love of Christ on the inside. Love never fails. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers the wrong that was done to you. Amen. It does. Because down through the years, I know I've had my share, whether I knew it or not, I had my share of doing people wrong. And it comes back to my mind from time to time, and I say, God, forgive me. And there's times that God said, why are you asking for forgiveness of something I've already forgiven you for? Don't let the enemy rehash something that's already been erased. But there's times that I think of others that down through the years, maybe they did me wrong. Maybe they did my husband wrong. Maybe they, I don't know, my kids wrong. My kids know Mama Bear comes out when somebody does their kids wrong. Mamas, can I get an amen?
Amen.
And sometimes I get by myself and I say, God, why do I, it's kind of a rhetorical question. Why do I love people when they've given me no reason to? Why would I go out of my way to love people? Because I would like to think that if people that have done me wrong were to call me up right now and say, Becky, I need help. I need prayer. I don't know what to do. That I would humble myself and say, absolutely. Not because I want to, not because I, you know, think I'm better than anybody else, because I know that I'm not, but it's because of what's in here. You have to love. Even when they do you wrong, you've got to love them anyway. You got to love them regardless of what they tell you. You know why I know that? Because even Jesus kept Judas at the table. Even Judas, in all of his trickery and backstabbing, Jesus knew all that, and he kept him close. He allowed him to kiss him on his cheek. He fed him. If Jesus can keep Judas close, then I guess I can keep my enemies close too. Love has no limits. And he set the perfect example. Anytime you think that you don't have to love, anytime you think it's too hard to love, anytime you think I'm so broken and damaged that I don't have the ability to love, look at that cross. Because when you picture that cross in your mind, the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love, it's not my love. It's the perfect love of Christ that covers me day after day. I'm not perfect. And there's times that I throw a pity party and I get angry at people and I say things. Am I the only one in here that gets fleshly sometimes? We all do it. But it's the Spirit of God that quickens us to say, you can't do that. And it's during those times that God will say, go apologize. You may do this. I don't think I heard right. Maybe there was a communication issue. What did you say, God? You heard me. Go apologize. Because you're to love your neighbor as you love yourself. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed,